Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 863. It's the 4th of September 2017. On the podcast today, I have Rory Neelan, CFO and COO of Amrit Pharma. It's AMYT. And Rory discusses some of their milestone achievements as highlighted in their interim results. Also on the podcast, David Bramhill, Executive Chairman of Union Jack Oil, covers some of their highlights from their 6 month results. And I have Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talking about the following stocks: Savannah Petroleum, SAVP, STX Energy, STX, Premier Oil, PMO, Rockhopper Exploration, RKH, and Empyrean Energy, that's EME. Plus, as always, are the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Rory Neelan, CFO and COO of Amrit Pharma. It's AMYT ticker. Rory, thanks for joining me again.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've had some interim results out. We'll get through to the detail in that in a bit. But before we do, Rory, for people listening not quite aware of what you do at Amrit Pharma or the company, explain what you're all about, the business there.
Sure. Well, we were formed in the middle of 2015. We agreed our first two acquisitions in quarter four 2015, one for a business called Birkin, which is our lead development asset for, and it's designed to treat epidermolysis bullosa, which is a rare and distressing skin condition. That product actually got approved by the European Medicines Agency for the treatment of partial thickness wounds, which is a broad indication, in January 16. We're now taking that same product and doing a phase 3 study in EB, epidermolysis bullosa, which, as I said, is a rare and distressing skin condition. We also, RTO, you might recall, Justin, onto the AIM. So we did a reverse takeover onto a cash shell and AIM in April 16. And since then, we have secured a 20 million venture debt facility from the European Investment Bank, and also in-licensed our third asset, which is Lejuxta, which is a very rare condition called homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, or HoFH for short. And this year we've managed to launch the phase 3 study, or AP101 phase 3 study in EB. So everything's going very well, Justin.
Yeah, you've got a nice spread of development here. So you've got revenue coming in, and you're obviously in phase 3 as well. So in fact, and the revenue's looking quite strong, aren't they?
Indeed. Well, let me just start by reminding people, Lejuxta is a product, like I said, that targets this super rare disease called HoFH, which impairs the body's ability to remove bad cholesterol, or LDL as you and I know it, from the blood, which can lead to aggressive and premature narrowing of the blood vessels, which, if left untreated, could result in heart attacks or sudden death in childhood or early adulthood. And you might recall, Justin, we only concluded our licensing deal for this business in December of last year, so accordingly, we've only had that business for 7 months to the end of June, and in that period, we've grown the annualized revenues by over 50% as compared to the run rate of the business when we signed the deal. So obviously that's a significant improvement in a very short space of time. And you might also recall, last time we spoke in March, we guided the markets for an annual run rate of 10.5 million euros. Mm-hmm. Obviously, those revenues from 5.75 for the first 6 months of the year stand up very well versus that guidance, and we obviously remain very comfortable with what we've previously predicted. And just to also mention that this compares to an estimated market size of 100 million, so you can see there's significant scope for further expansion in that particular business.
Absolutely, yeah. And in fact, we should cover off since we last spoke, and you made a senior management appointment. Can you tell us who that is and what it's about, please, Rory?
Indeed. You might recall Joe Wiley, our CEO, and I started Amrit in 2015. Like I said, we did our two deals the back end of that year. And in the second half of 16, we added Mark Summeray as our chief medical officer and Helen Phillips as our head of medical affairs. But since we last spoke in March of this year, we've also added Dave Almond as our Chief Commercial Officer, and Kieran Rooney very recently as our VP of Strategic Alliances and Licensing. Dave was most recently the European Chief Commercial Officer of Vigerian, and was directly responsible for the sales of that Lejuxta product I just mentioned in our territory. And together with Helen, they both had direct hands-on experience of the product and have both been instrumental in driving the growth these past 7 months. Dave, by way of background, has over 20 years' experience in the farm industry in various commercial roles, including, for example, he would have once upon a time been the corporate VP of global marketing for Celgene. So a lot of relevant commercial experience. Super guy. And more recently, we've hired Kieran Rooney as our head of strategic alliance and licensing. So since, you know, we joined the AIM market in April 16, we've come across many La Juxta type in licensing opportunities. And we've also had multiple requests to out-license our AP101 assets for non-core territories to us. So Kieran's role is to progress both of those kinds of opportunities.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's get on to the AP101 and how it's developing. And in fact, explain what it's about for people not aware of it, and tell us about the milestones you've hit there so far.
Sure. Well, we're doing a study in EB, like I said, which is a rare distressing skin condition where the anchoring proteins, if you like, that hold down your skin are defective. And if you rub your skin robustly, it'll slough off or slide off. So what we're doing is a phase 3 pivotal study. It's a 164 patient study that is truly international. I mean, we are, in fact, initiating over 32 clinical trial sites in over 15 countries globally, as evidenced by the first site being in Sydney. And what's worth explaining and what's novel about our study is this interim analysis that we're doing halfway through the study. It's a kind of early look-see, and this will be our first big milestone from the study. We will take data from half the patients, or 82 of the patients, and it goes to an independent data safety monitoring board, who, amongst other things, will compare the performance of our product to the placebo. And there are three possible outcomes. So option one will be keep going, which effectively means everything is on track, which obviously would be great news for shareholders. Mm-hmm. Option two would not be so good. It would be stop now for futility. The product's not showing significant difference versus the placebo. And finally, the third option would be your study is showing promise. You don't quite have enough patients in the study to show statistical significance. So therefore, add X number more patients to the study. And obviously, that would also be good news for shareholders, as it would show the product has promise. And in such event, were we to add extra patients, we would be able to maintain an 80% chance of success for the study. So as you can imagine, the results of this interim analysis is a major potential driver for the value for the company. And we would expect the results of that in H1 next year.
Okay, H1. So you're keeping busy there. So Rory, it's going well. And so if anyone's listening right now and they like the sound of what you're doing but are not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them maybe three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Sure. I guess the first is we meet our objectives. As a management team, we've met all the key milestones to date since this company came to the market in April 16. So obviously, hopeful and confident we'll continue to do so. Second reason would be we now have a de-risked and sustainable business since we did the La Juxta deal last December. That La Juxta business is EBITDA positive on a standalone basis. And in fact, some analysts are now suggesting the market cap of Amaris can be justified by the La Juxta business alone. And finally, we do have this phase 3 asset in EB. And EB, just to remind your listeners, is a 1.3 billion euro market. And we do have two major milestones next year, namely our interim analysis in the first half and our top line data in the second half when we complete the study. And each of those major milestones could be a significant value driver. And if positive, should have a major positive impact on the share price.
Excellent stuff. Rory, thanks for that. And hopefully we'll chat again very soon. Thank you.
Indeed. Thanks, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Bramhill, Executive Chairman of Union Jack Oil. That's UJO ticker. David, thanks for joining me.
Not at all. Thanks for asking. Nice to be talking to you.
Now, you've had your results out for the 6 months ending the 30th of June, 2017. We'll get into some of the detail in that in a bit, David. Before we do, for people listening right now that are not aware of what you do at Union Jack Oil, could you give them a brief summary as to the business, please?
Yeah, very pleased to. Yeah, our business model is really, really simple. We're oil and gas production, development, and slightly exploration on onshore UK, totally focused onshore UK. What we do, we take interest in, we're not really, really interested in the early stage exploration. We come along at a very late stage when an operator has found somewhere to drill, has got planning permission to drill, and we come along, we pay a small promote, and we're part of that when that well is drilled. We find oil, such as in Wrestle, and we've basically topped it on a couple of times. We've got another well coming along called Homewood, and another one, Biscuit Fork. I'll touch on that later. So we've got some production at Keddington, and I think it's pretty good to say that we're pretty good for cash. We don't need to raise any money in the short term. everything is effectively covered, including working capital for the time being. So in a nutshell, that's what we do.
Excellent. So you look to take the risk out of it, really. You know, like you say, you're not in exploration. You wait until, say, you've got a proven sort of resource there,
yeah,
and you buy in.
There's always
interest.
Risk. There's always risk, Justin. I know what you're saying, but we try and eliminate some of the risk. There'll always be every single well, you're full of hope, and, you know, I've been in instances where you think, well, this one is a definite, we're going to find oil here, you don't find anything, and other wells surprise you. So there's still risks. I wouldn't want to be saying, oh, yeah, this is a slam dunk. No, there's always risk, not just on discoveries, but there's no, just about everything involved with it, with oil production and exploration. So, but we cut the risk, we minimise the risk. And yes, you're right saying that. We try and make things as... So the odds are weighted in our favour, is the bottom line.
Exactly, yes. And I don't think people understand how risky, actually, you know, sort of wildcat drills are. You know, the chance of, a chance of 5-1 to actually strike. And so I understand what you say. You're spot on there. There's always risk, and it's always worth pointing that out to any investor. But you try and reduce that risk as far as possible, I suppose, don't you?
Yeah, I just like investors to know the risk, because it's not always, we're good risk.
Yeah.
The risk is on our side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everything we get involved with, it's not just a case of, well, we think we'll have some of that, we'll take a gamble on this. I've got a great team behind me. Graham Bull has been in the industry for 40, 50 years nearly, and he's good. And plus we've got an external team as well, and advisors. We're looked after. We're a lucky company.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, let's go into some of the highlights, David. So, first and foremost, let's look at some things you've got going on. So, you did a further acquisition, didn't you, 15% in Pedal 180 and 182. What's happening there
at
the moment?
That brings us up to 15%, we're still looking, seeking planning permission. Most disappointing that it's not in production by now. And we keep plugging away. We've as we said, we've got the appeals coming up in November. Mm-hmm. The actual planning officer on two occasions of the council recommended it goes ahead. So it's actually gone to the Secretary of State now, Director of Appeals, and as you can read, this is going to be just later on in the year, and everybody's very hopeful, of course.
Yeah, I was dumbfounded by that decision because, like I said, the planning officer said recommended it, and I don't understand what went wrong there. Really odd decision.
I don't know. It is difficult for me to comment. You know, as legal, like everyone was dumbfounded. Of course, they really, really were, and so it goes to a legal situation where, you know, my understanding is if it was good enough for the planning officer twice, then we've obviously, the operator's done a good job in presenting it.
Yeah.
Environmental agency permit to go ahead, health and safety, you name it, every recommendations. But, you know, that's the way it is, Justin. And we just got to take it through to the inspectorate. And that's the next stage. Great project, great prospect. Lots of oil to generate, all sorts of decent things, you know, not just for us, but for the people that live around, you know, throughout the UK. It adds to the coffers. It's oil, and it's conventional.
Yeah.
No, we're not fracking. We never, you know, I have to say to you, we never will be involved in fracking. We don't go for that. We're a totally conventional oil company, full stop.
Yeah. It's really odd. You satisfied all the criteria. The planning officer, recommended it, and yet it was turned down. So really odd there, but hopefully that'll be settled with this appeal.
Yeah, but what I'd like to say, we've got other things for the portfolio. You know, it's not we've got many projects, all very, very good. And you know, until the appeal's heard, we concentrate, as we would anyway, on things like Homewood, which is it's down in the Weald Basin, and everyone's heard about it. Horse Hill and Brockham and all the other wells being drilled, the discoveries there, and we're smack bang in the middle of this. So this is, the operator would be Europa, great operator, great partners, and hopefully that'll be drilled very shortly, and hopefully lead to a discovery. You know, it's got a great without being promotional, it's got a great chance. It's in, you know, for Closeology, we'd be unlucky not to find something. So obviously we're really hopeful. Then we've got Biscafort, which we've nurtured for years, that prospect, and it's getting, it's been slow coming, but it's, we're gradually getting there. And as I mentioned in the report, we've got the money to drill it, no problem. And and also, as you did mention earlier, an acquisition, which be, it'll be a production acquisition. We look at all sorts of production style scenarios for us, because it means money, it needs cash flow. You know, relatively speaking, it'll be good for us. It won't be thousands of barrels a day, of course it won't, but what will come in is a great help to us. And it should, as I mentioned in the report today, it should happen. We've looked at it, we like it. Negotiations are late stage. It would be unlucky not to happen in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So, three bits of good news there. So, obviously, there's a Pedal 180, 182. There's news on the appeal in November, early November. You've got drilling fully funded for the current planned drill program, including Holmwood 1 and Biscafort 2. And you're also still looking, like you said just then, advanced stages of an acquisition. Is that spot on there?
That's right. Yes, we said that. Yes. We expect to happen in the near future. We're looking at all sorts of things, to be honest with you, and we won't have to raise any new money for it. As I mentioned, we raised 1.4 million before expenses in February, and some of that money is still, we've still got it left, and it's earmarked for the acquisition.
Yeah, yeah. And a quick word on the macro scene. What's your take on the oil price at the moment, David?
Oh, Susan, 50. Look, $100, utopia. $50, you'll make money on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on,
yeah.
On new, you know, the older fields, it'd be nice to see 55, 60. Will that happen? God, I've seen three of these in my time. And, you know, you get the gloom and the doom. Oh, oil will never be. And all of a sudden, you look around and think, oh, hang on a minute, oil was only 50 the other day.
Yeah.
Now, we've been through a lot of these.
Yeah, yeah, your downturns and upturns, yeah.
It goes up, it goes down. If we didn't think we couldn't make money at the end of the day, you know, this is not a today game plan, or this is for the future. Will we make money? I'd be disappointed if we didn't. We've got every chance.
Yeah, exactly.
We need a modicum of luck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I suppose, like you said, with the oil price, you know, you cut your coat according to your cloth, and you're always looking to...
It hasn't stopped us. We haven't said, oh, we can do this, we can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably read with the big companies, as would be expected, their expenses are far more than us. Mm-hmm. It hasn't affected the way that we operate, not at all. And for decent acquisitions, there's always supporters, backers around, which is a nice thing, which means that they like our company, because it's very different. Money doesn't come easy, we all know that, and especially now you've got a hell of a choice. When I first started in the oil game, there were very few small mini companies you could invest in and enjoy being an investor in, really. But now you've got quite a plateful. You've got a menu of these companies, so you're all applying for the same money. And thankfully, we've always been well supported, so I'm really happy at that.
Yeah. Well, listen, go on, sorry.
No, we're very happy that we're not worried. We've no financial concerns whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, David, if anyone's listening right now and they like the sound of this busy next 6 months you have ahead of you, but are not following you yet on Vox, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
Well, I think we're a transparent company. Everything we're transparent. Mm-hmm. As every company should be in at all, I think. And we do everything as we say. It may not happen today, it may not happen within a week, but we do strive to make sure that everything we say we're going to do, we actually do. And also, I think most importantly, the directors have all got an interest in the company, and the executives have got a lot of their skin in this outfit, which we really support to the end.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just looking to do a decent job for shareholders, without trying to sound corny. that's what we're trying to do. You know, everyone likes success. Of course you do. And we're no different.
Excellent. David, good to chat to you. And hopefully, like I said, you've got a busy 6 months ahead. Hopefully we'll chat again in a not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. All the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Malky. You all right, fella?
Yeah, I'm very well, Justin. And you?
Not too bad. And we, do you know what? You can tell we're into September. I took the sun and the sun's down for their rugby start of the rugby season, sort of a little lesson or a training day, and just it was like winter. It's like, what's going on here?
It's like, it was shocking yesterday, wasn't it? I was in the shorts on the Saturday, lovely day.
Yeah.
And you know, put the central heating on last night, I can't believe it.
I know. Okay, well, talking about central heating, it's probably oil and gas based. What are we chatting about? What's the first company you're talking about today?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about some stocks which have had news in the couple of weeks since we last spoke. So mm-hmm. I'm starting off with Savannah Petroleum. Mm-hmm. Which issued a corporate and Niger update last week. Mm-hmm. Savannah are in the process of in discussions, or what they call an exclusivity agreement, with a company called Seven Energy, which is Nigerian production. Which would be, if it worked and the right price and they got the right assets off them and everything else, would be excellent. So the good news is that they're in discussions are continuing. They'll issue further updates in due course, as they say, and we'll get a proper readmission document in due course. The shares, as you know, are suspended at the moment, so I don't normally talk about suspended shares, but there's a lot of exciting things coming about this one, and a lot of your guys hold it.
Yeah.
So we've got a situation where the Niger operation, where they've got at least a three-well project, which probably people would have expected to have started by now. But the reason that it hasn't is that although operationally they're continuing to progress well, everyone on site is mobilized, but they've decided not to commence drilling until the shares have been readmitted and are back from suspension. And that's an eminently sensible thing, in my view, because it would be wrong to be having really key wells drilling and no ability for shareholders to buy or sell. So that drilling program will start the moment they're readmitted. I think that should be a matter of weeks, not much longer. But the good news is that in that area they've continued to be doing 3D seismic, and the most recent data set looks very, very interesting indeed, and will be included in the CPR that will come with the readmission document. So I see no reason why valuations and assets shouldn't be higher when that document comes out.
Yeah.
Overall, this is a very, very interesting company. Good quality management, who've got skin in the game. Potentially transformational production acquisition. And, of course, game-changing if the upside from the exploration in Niger comes off. It's most interesting, Justin.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot going on there. It'd be nice to see what happens when they sort of, or when. But you reckon what, next few weeks?
Yeah.
Really, so that's exciting. Because I am a holder of this stock in this company. It's been interesting to see what happens because a lot's been going on. So, but it's annoying. That
yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited about Savannah.
Yeah, yeah. What stock's next, Malky?
SDX Energy is next. They've also updated the market with a cracking set of interim numbers, which were better than expected. The Circle acquisition is paying very, very nicely. Looks like a good deal, that one. And, of course, from the raise, they've got $27.6 million in cash with no debt, and a very, very exciting autumn to come. I can tell you that they've got a drilling campaign in Morocco, which is a minimum of seven wells coming up there. And with the Circle stuff and various other stuff, they've identified a number of further opportunities. And of course, they've got their development activity coming up in Egypt, in a number of different areas, not forgetting the South Dussuk well, which in the gas area produced way more than they expected, and through limited onshore facilities. So I'm expecting that to be better. And of course, they're going to drill on with that to see what they can find in the further, potentially bigger, and maybe even oily prospects. So there's a lot more to come from this company, as I say, with the drill bit, with the development, with the excitement in South Dussuk. And, you know, these people, you know, don't stand still. There's so much going on in terms of, you know, the management are extremely good quality here, and I'm expecting a very exciting quarter or two. So lots more to come, and one that I've labelled as cheapest chips, and I think it still is.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Very interesting chart here on a technical level, because it is now, you could draw a ruler under about 43 pence, which has hit about 1, 2, 3, 4. It's on the fifth time it's hit this. A very strong support level. So as long as, you know, the news going forward is progressive, then there's no reason why we're going any lower from here, you know. So it's a good risk-reward on the chart here, you know.
Yeah, and it's a good timing because, as I say, all this autumn drilling everyone's been waiting for, because they've been doing, you know, all the work, and now that they are actually going to start spinning the old drill bit, and in a number of different areas. So a lot of excitement to come from this stock.
Yeah, OK. What's next, Malky?
I'm going to talk about Premier, and with a nod to Rock Opera as well here, because Premier also came out with a big statement in terms when we were away, and it was a very, very good operational report. I mean, operationally, Premier has been one of the great success stories of the sector for the last year or so, because whilst they've been trying to sort out their massive debt position, operationally things have been going extremely well. So we've got a number of things to report on, but Tollmount, which an acquisition came as part of an acquisition, is proving to be an absolute dream. This is a gas field in the southern North Sea, and they are going to develop this one with financing from infrastructure funds, so it won't have to lay out too much capex, but will be able to put money down and effectively, with an infrastructure fund, probably work out some sort of tariff. But that's going to be going ahead okay. They've made this obviously big discovery in Mexico, Zama, where they have 25% of what could be an 800 million barrel prospect. I suspect they'll probably sell off that, because whilst it's interesting, they may not want to start writing checks for their 25% working interest, but it's a good thing, not a bad thing. And they've sold Witch Farm for $200 million, which is obviously good for the balance sheet. And, of course, they've got Catcher, which is their new field in the North Sea. They announced that the Catcher rig had sailed away from Singapore, take 45 days to get to the North Sea. And all being well, Catcher will be into first oil at the end of the year, and it will, by the looks of it, be producing quite a bit more than initial expectations, and I expect that to be doing well. And that pretty much leaves Sea Lion, which is the big billion barrel field in the Falklands. They've got 400 million barrels net to them, and if they do a phased development, which we're expecting to, they say that, to quote them, that will be transformational for the company. And certainly if you look at what operated assets they're going to have, you know, in the early 2020s, that's exactly the case. It's their major play. So I don't think it's not going to happen. I think it's taken a bit longer, partly because Premier have been involved in the debt negotiations, partly because they wanted to make sure that oil was going to stay at about 50 because it wouldn't work at 30, for example. But this is most exciting because they have announced in the last few days that they may well get the finance they needed from the UK Export Finance, which may put in up to $800 million. They've already got a number of service providers and so on to participate here as well. So whereas people said that, you know, Sea Lion may never get off the ground, the news that we've heard in the last week or two, whilst not being in any way confirmation that they will go ahead, it looks much more exciting. Premier kept their sort of powder dry on this stock a little bit for the reasons I've just mentioned, but so providing the oil price doesn't slip, and providing that they, you know, they've got all their feed stuff underway, I would expect a go ahead for Sea Lion sometime next year, probably second half of next year.
Marvellous. Okay, so we've covered off what, Savannah, SDX and Premier. Any more, Malky?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Rock Copper comes into that Premier bit as well, because they're the other half of the Sea Lion bit. Finally, I just wanted to talk about Empyrean Energy.
Yeah.
They're drilling, and there's a lot of retail involvement in this one, Justin, and they are drilling this Dempsey 1 gas well in California, and they've been drip-feeding the market with information for the last two or three weeks. And there's no doubt that there are significant gas in this well. They've said that this, that all the way down they've seen significant gas. Now, you know, no one's going to tell you exactly what it is or how much it is until things like wild iron logs are run and so on. But it has already earned its 30% working interest. As I said in the blog some time ago, it's targeting a TCF of gas, and my guess is that they probably already got that. It may be quite a lot more. I think this will be Tom Kelly, who's made Empyrean Energy what it is today, did some really good stuff, then sold off, paid back to the company and started again. Has got another big success story on his hands here. Interesting thing, Justin, is that the shares haven't really taken off. They were sort of, I don't know if you've got the chart in front of you, but they were sort of 9p and they got to about 10.5p. They keep announcing good news, but they're not going up. I wouldn't be surprised if the market think that they will have raise some more money. I mean, they've done two very modest raises this year so far, just to keep them going with their costs. I suspect that price indication shows that they are probably, the market probably think they're going to raise money. I know that Kelly is over here, he's normally to be found in Australia. I know he's over here next week. So the market may have to wait until then. In a way, if he is going to raise money, let's have another big announcement of how big this well really is, and then do a raise, and then I would expect the shares to get better. There's no doubt that at 11p or whatever it is, the shares are not fully discounting in any way, shape or form what this well could be. I mean, it could easily be a lot more than the existing share price. I mean, another 20p, I would have thought, on the back of an envelope numbers, but I suspect when we get the total discovered resource, it'll be time to hear a bit more from the company. But very exciting for Empyrean Energy shareholders.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of interest in this, and like you said, they've released a lot of news about this Dempsey, resource and significant gas shows. I'm just looking 1, 2, 3, 4 in the last five in the last couple of weeks have announced the news about it.
Yeah,
and I've seen rumours and murmurings on Twitter. Maybe there's a fundraise going on, so they either have to confirm it's not happening or do it to get out of the way because holding the share price back. So okay, well, we'll see. Time will tell, as with everything, Malky. So
yeah, will indeed.
All right, fella. Well, listen, have a nice week and speak next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Cheers, Justin.
Okay, it's time for top five. Most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, UK Oil and Gas, UCOG. It's there a lot these days. At 4, Andalas Energy and Power, ADL. At 3, Alba Mineral Resources, ALBA. At two, it's always there pretty much as well at the moment. Ascent Resources, AST, and number one, most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, was 88 Energy, that's ATD. All right, top five most liked analysis. At five, Blenheim Natural Resources, BNR, investor engagement via Vox Markets. Very smart move. At four, Aminex, Notoria Gasfield Basin Model Update. That's from Aminex at AEX. At three, also, same kind of RNS, or similar RS, exactly the same, pretty much content-wise. Solar Oil and Gas, Notoria Gasfield Resource Upgrade. At two, 88 Energy, that's ATD, Project Ice Wine Operations Update. There was quite a few dislikes of that, and at the moment, I think the stock of ATD is down on that operations update. Let me just check where it's at. As I'm looking right now, yeah, it's down just shy of 20% down. Number one most liked RNS via Vox Markets, the platform here, was from Premier African Minerals. And let me just check where the share price is down. It's flat, but it was a lithium drilling update, the Zulu project there. That's PREM, of course. And that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Back, you know, first full week here of September. Hopefully we'll see some liquidity into the markets and push the markets up. Because at the moment, a bit dire. I'm looking at my portfolio and it's generally more red than blue at the moment. So that's not an encouraging start. Let's hope it doesn't continue that way in September. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.